Sing that last part one more time. Jesus' affirmation today comes from John, the 11th chapter, 32nd through 46th verse. It's really in the middle of a story that we will tell a little bit later. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept.
Then said Jesus, Behold, how he loved him.
And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth.
And he that was dead came
forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about his neck. Jesus said unto him, Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Father, we are challenged today. We are challenged by our grief. We are challenged by our pain. We are challenged by our loss. We are challenged, and we need you. If you don't speak to us, Lord, if you don't speak, we won't be able to hear. So we're asking that you would open our ears and open our hearts and open our minds, and that you would speak to us through your word. Help us, Lord. We need you this day. Show yourself strong on behalf of your people for your glory, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Father, and I found someone who can operate on my broken heart. I found someone who can fix me in the midst of my unfixableness. I'm so amazed at the wonderful word of God and how God speaks to real situations in our lives. I look at our congregation and all of the challenges that we represent. I look at us and I see all of the pain and the hurt and confusion and all of that stuff. Yet I see a gracious God touching us, changing us, making us, helping us to be the people that he's called us to be. You know, sometimes we don't think of that Jesus understands us, that he's some distant, far away, but he loves us. And like the television commercial that's been going on, he gets us. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, show us your truth today in a unique and wonderful way, because we need to hear from you and nothing else will do. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. We're going to start at verse 1 in chapter 11, of course, because the scripture reading that we read this morning, it's really fascinating, because there are so many things in this that we ought to stop and pay attention to. And so I'll try not to be too long, but I want to hit on some things that I see in this wondrous, amazing account of the raising of Lazarus and the raising of my faith. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, a town of Mary and her sister Martha. This town was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, this is a family that loved Jesus. Some of the most famous stories in the Bible are about things that happened with this family, about this woman who washed the Lord's feet with her hair, about this woman who was frustrated about the fact that her sister was in there listening to the men and everything, and while she was out there cooking and getting everything ready. This was, you know, and yeah, it's right. And so you got these people that meant something to Jesus. I mean, in his humanness, they meant something to him. In his divine nature, they meant something to him. Therefore, his sisters, verse 3, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, listen, if you had been that close to Jesus and you had seen him do all of this other stuff for other people, and those people hadn't been nearly as devoted to him as you had, when you send that little message and you put that little hook on it, you know the one that you love is sick. The one that you care about is sick. The one they were trying to subtly but nicely say, come and help us. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Wow. This is the point of this death is not, this sickness is not death. That's just a side thing in all of this. The point of this is that Jesus, the Son of God, might be glorified. Is the point of your life, the point of the situation that you find yourself in, could that point be that Jesus would be glorified? You see, we need to give meaning to this stuff that we can't understand. We need to give meaning to the happenings in our life. We need to be able to understand what has happened here, because if it's just happening, it feels so random, it feels so weird, and it hurts so very bad. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha. He really did love her. And he loved her sister, and he loved Lazarus. Let's be clear about this. The scripture is clear. He loved them. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You would have thought, oh my goodness, he's sick. Let's get up. Let's go. Let's run to him. Let's do it. No. Stay right where he was for another 2 days. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late have sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? They're trying to kill you, and you're going to go there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. If you go when God tells you to go, it's the right time. No matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what's caused it in the natural, when you go when God has called you to go, it's the right time. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And they're going, oh, it's good. He's going to be feeling better. We're going to get to see him up and about. Oh. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Guys, Lazarus is dead. I want you to know that. Some of our hopes and dreams are dead. I want you to know that. The circumstances all around, we can't fix. You need to know that. He says, Lazarus is dead. And then Thomas, I like Thomas. I do. A lot of people, you know, give him a hard time. But Thomas, he really didn't quite get this point. He was like, okay, he's dead. They're trying to kill Jesus. Let's all go die together. We'll go down in a flame of glory. We'll just all go out there and die together. But we'll show loyalty, because I'm a loyal kind of guy. You know, some of us, do we serve Jesus because we're just a loyal kind of guy? Do we serve Jesus, but we really don't think that he can preserve us? That we really don't think that he can keep us? Are we like Thomas? Let's all go die together. We'll just be martyrs. Because, you know, we're not going to make it. Nothing good's going to happen. But we can go together. Is that all church is to you? You really need to think about that, because some of us come and go, but we don't really believe that God is for us. We don't really believe that God cares for us. I mean, we believe he's a great God. We believe he's a powerful God. We believe he's a wonderful God for others. And it's nice that we can be a part of the family, but we're like the funny uncle. We're just kind of outside there. It's not for someone like us, is it? Let's go die with him, because there's no way he's going to preserve us. What's your view of God? You know, we need to stop and think about that for a minute. What's your view of God? Do you believe that he's one that really not just preserves you, but prospers you? One that keeps you, one that loves you, one that's with you. There's a lot in the scripture. I need to go faster. So you could pray that I go faster, and we'll see how good your prayers are. Not my fault. You're the ones praying. So Thomas is saying, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. You know, the Jews at that time believed that the spirit hung around for 3 days, but then left. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Martha was always this forward one that wanted to get stuff done, so she's going to go take care of this business. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. If you had been here, you could have prevented this. But I know, okay, I'm not forgotten who you are and who I am, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Yeah, I know, Lord. He's going to rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Sometime off in the future, sometimes there's going to be this thing, this wonderful day coming. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She's probably a little confused right now. But because he said it, her habit would be to say, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I don't know what that means to this situation, but I believe it. And when she had so said, you know, it's always good to have your Bible or at least be looking at the word to make sure you understand when I'm adding words and when he has actually said this. That's really important. Okay, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. She was probably, Martha was probably sitting around saying, okay, now, how can I get Mary out to see the master? Oh, I'll just say he's calling for you. Because she will do anything he says do. Okay, so that's how we did this. Now, Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. So then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Said the very same thing that her sister said. But I believe she had a little bit of different attitude, because when she saw Jesus, she fell at her feet. She was worshiping him. She fell at his feet. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. This was an emotional experience for him. One that he cared about had died. You know, I have been to the funerals, been part of funerals where the people were aged. They had lived out a good life. And I was sure that they would be going to heaven, which is a much better place. I was so sure of all of those things, but the emotion of it all still hurt. Haven't you had some friend die that it still hurt? Remember Mary Ray? You know, I cried at her funeral. There's a woman who I thought was godly and going to heaven and had lived a good life and raised good sons and all of this stuff, but still there were tears. When my mother died, I cried. When my father died, I cried. It's an emotional thing. Sometimes we think it weird that people would be just torn up with grief, but the reality is that it hurts because we're separated from those that we love. It hurts. There's something that is not right. Death is not a friendly thing. And so Jesus felt us. He gets us. He understands us. And when he saw one he had spent time with, who he loved and cared for, was in the grave, and he saw the people all around mourning, and we saw his sisters crying, and we felt all of this. It was an emotional experience. And when they showed him where his grave was, he burst out in tears. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." Wow. You could tell he loved him. And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Some people believe because he didn't do what they wanted him to do when they wanted him to do, that he didn't love. But that's not true. Don't think in the ways of the world. God's done so much for us already. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Don't get sucked into measuring it by how you're currently feeling. Currently, it hurts. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Now, he just told the woman that he's going to raise him up. She said, "Yeah, I believe, Lord. I believe that you could do all this stuff. Yeah, but this is a mess. This situation here, it stinks. I mean, literally, Lord, it stinks. This is a mess, Lord. How can you do this?" Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Make sure you see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, let him go. Even after God has done a work, there's still work to be done. He includes us in this process. He includes us. We just had a dear sister walk out of this room. Her child died last week in a car accident. And even if she is changed and made different, we've got to loose her and let her go. We each have to be loosed and let go. We get saved, but there's still things to learn. We get saved, and there are still things that need to change. We get saved, and we need to understand how to walk in this world. We need to understand how to live with the pain, the reality of life as it is. We need to loose them and let them go. Are you prepared to be a disciple that makes disciples, a person who is able to loose them and let them go, help them to live a life in the Spirit? We feel the pain of real loss. We know the confusion of not understanding what God is doing in a particular situation, even as he's speaking the truth to us. But when we see that he has moved, we need to walk with him in the process of loosing them, giving people the truth that the King has come, he has died, he's been crucified, he's in the tomb, he's been raised again, and he is coming again. We've got to share the truth. And as we share the truth, be a healing balm that will loose them and let them go. Would you bow your head with me? Father, we feel inadequate, but we believe that you are adequate. And we ask that you would change us this day. Some people might want to pray a prayer like this. Dear Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you have changed me, I believe that you are coming for me again. And while I'm waiting for you to come, I am to be a disciple that makes disciples, that shares your truth, that helps your people, that is a healing balm in this world. Help me to walk that out for your glory and for your honor, and if I may, for my good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If God is moving on your heart, feel free to come forward. We'd love to pray with you. God's changing hearts. But there are those who will walk away, maybe unchanged. And that breaks my heart.